America Weekend.
Sometimes I tend to lose myself when I'm out here on my own. I never seem to get it right, but I guess that's how we go.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Kara DeFalco.
Our next guest is a member of one of the hottest bands in the world. They pack arenas, climb up music charts, they rack up millions of followers and views online and more. He is the lead vocalist of The Vamps. He is Brad Simpson. Brad, welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you doing? How are you guys?
We are talking to you across the pond right now. Is that correct?
I know.
Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
technology.
We're in a big house. Yeah, it's all good, man. How are you guys?
We are terrific. You know, we led into the segment. We just heard a bit of your single All Night with you guys and Norwegian DJ Matoma. First of all, tell us a bit about that single.
All Night, well, it's a bit of a different sound for us because we're traditionally a kind of a traditional band layout in the sense that, like, I'm the singer and then we have a drummer called Tristan, a lead guitarist called James, and a bass player called Connor. Mm-hmm. And we kind of got approached with this idea. We were working with a guy called Frank E, who's based out of Los Angeles. So we were in your beautiful country. And the idea kind of came about. And from there, we kind of built it. And it's got these kind of singer-songwriter lyrics, and the sentiment in the verses are really singer-songwriter and intimate. Mm-hmm. And they feel quite kind of vulnerable in the verses. And then you've got this big chanty chorus, and we kind of loved that juxtaposition within the song, and then Matoma kind of came and brought it into the dance world, which you guys now hear it. So it's kind of had a bit of a journey, the song, from day one to where you hear it now.
Very cool.
And how did you guys meet and come together as a band? Did you found one another, or did somebody in the record industry kind of put you guys together?
It was Tinder. Yeah, it was Tinder.
Really?
No. No, it wasn't.
You hooked up on Craigslist. Go ahead, admit it.
This guy doesn't look like he can play for anything. Swipe.
Super like. We all super like each other. No, we actually met. I was doing covers on YouTube, and the guitarist was looking to form a band. And he actually lives about 3 hours away from me in the UK. And he found me on YouTube, and then he dropped me a message on Facebook, and I'm a very slow replier, so it took me about 3 weeks to reply. But when I got back to him, we met up and we started writing songs together for a weekend. And we just kind of clicked, you know, and you kind of know that something works.
Yeah.
And it just did. And from then on, we found the guitarist and the bass player the same way. We saw videos of them online, dropped them a message, started meeting up on the weekends. And then from the covers that we started putting up as a three-piece and then a four-piece, we got signed off the back of them.
Wow.
So it kind of all stems from the internet, really.
You've just taught the world a very important lesson. Reply to your Facebook messages as soon as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Because if you blow people off, you might be blowing off the opportunity to be a part of an international music sensation. So there.
Yeah.
You
could have been in the Vamps. You could have been in the Vamps.
You could have been. That's so cool, though, because I feel like you guys are almost like the new age garage band, you know, instead of a bunch of kids who went to high school together and, you know, you found each other online, you still used, you know, modern technology to get together, but you guys are still, you know, a group of guys who found one another and like to play, and it just so happened that somebody caught you.
It's the most authentic way in the new age to do something is kind of, and it's a nice way to kind of sift through, like,
sure,
people that you might not necessarily click with, because like, we were all in bands before the band, and you kind of have like their school bands, or you put like an audition up in like a rehearsal space, and you meet up with these guys, and they're like, you just kind of don't click with them, and it's hard, but YouTube gives you that platform to kind of go, actually, he's the kind of vibe that I'd like to work with. So it works really well.
You know, back in the Stone Age, where I come from, you would measure success by numbers of records sold. It's a lot different nowadays. And someone's social media following is really a good way to gauge how they are or how a group is doing as a performer. Yeah. And your social media is amazing. Instagram, 1.7 million. Twitter, 3.2 million. Facebook, 6.2 million. YouTube, 1.7 million. My goodness, is there anything on social media other than the Vamps nowadays?
I think it's just us.
I think so.
Just us on social media.
Vamps.com is now the internet all over the world, I think, at this point.
But yeah, then, we're the new Google.
Yes, you are the new Google. You know, what gets me, though, it really is a testament to your success. And that's got to make you guys feel terrific, because what you're doing is obviously working.
Well, you know, it's very humbling, because for us, I think we've grown up looking up to bands who have like, the reason that I got into music was I watched, like, an AC/DC live video when I was, like, 11. And that kind of made me want to start playing guitar, because I was like, I want to play guitar on the stage that size, that many people, because it just looks like the most fun in the entire world.
Sure.
So I think the parallel today is, like you say, obviously there's them festivals that we've been lucky enough to play ourselves as a band, but also having your video viewed over, like, 100 million times, or having your song streamed over 100 million times is, like, it's such a humbling feeling and very gratifying, especially when you work quite hard for it as well. So it's a very nice position to be in, and we know how lucky we are, so we're very grateful to all of our fans.
What other influences do you guys have on your music? Who else do you kind of look at and go, yeah, we're going to kind of try something like that?
Well, I don't know. I think AC/DC, I can't speak for the other boys, because I don't think AC/DC necessarily influences our music. Otherwise, I'd just be screaming for, like, an hour and a half. It's quite close to what I do, in fairness, but, like, I think nowadays we try and be influenced by as much as we can, because I think music goes in cycles, so you can hear a lot of, like there's a lot of 90s R&B that fit, like, melodically, and that seems to be coming full circle now, like the new Ed Sheeran song, Unreal. Like TLC, Destiny's Child,
right.
90s feel about it, which I like. I love that kind of music, so it's nice to hear that come back around. So I think you can't kind of pigeonhole yourself into one genre. You've kind of got to just absorb as much music as you can, so that then you can almost take your favourite bits. I don't think there's necessarily a best bit. I think it's just what, it's subjective, isn't it? So it's what feels right to you and what connects with you. And then you can only try and portray that in the most authentic way you can, which is what we've tried to do. And we've had, I think there was a band we toured with in the UK called McFly, who had brilliant, brilliant songs. And then we did a couple of shows in the UK. We supported Taylor Swift at the O2 Arena, which was incredible. Yeah, and so she's been quite a big influence on us as well. And we got to watch her for like 6 nights at the O2. Which is just insane. So we go on and we play, and that was like the first kind of big set of shows for us as a band in the UK.
Sure.
And then we go and get to watch her just absolutely smash the O2 Arena to bits, because she's just an incredible musician and performer. And I think that's kind of spurs you on to do as well as you can as a band.
It's got to be heartwarming for you as a performer that people want to work with you. All right, you talk about, all right, you know, you're there, you're opening for Taylor Swift. You worked with Demi Lovato on Somebody to You back in 2014. That's a video that when you go online, it's got a 111 million views. That's incredible. I mean, that really shows that you guys are catching on. And, you know, you talked about pigeonholing before. People try to pigeonhole you as, oh, you know, it's they're another One Direction, or you're just a boy band because you guys are in your late teens, early 20s. You're not that at all. You weren't put together by a record producer. You talked about how you found each other online. It was this organic thing that just worked together. So it's much more about the craft for you than just churning out songs. The songs you churn out are terrific, but I would imagine to you it's more of the process and just working together as a band that must be so important for all of you.
100%, yeah. And like, there's obviously nothing wrong with bands and artists that have been put together. It obviously worked pretty well for One Direction, which is good. But I think for us, I think because, like I said, the bands that we listened to growing up had a real kind of, the music was the basis of their whole thing, and it was the center and the live performance and those aspects. Are at the forefront of what we value as a band. So it's like you say, the enjoyment is in the process, not necessarily the end result.
Exactly,
it's more in the creation of the music and the coming together and sitting in a rehearsal room or sitting on a tour bus, and then you get to go and play the show, and seeing it build is like an added bonus. But just having the ability and the platform to do it is exactly what you kind of get into a band at 14 years old, you're like, I want to be in a band so that I can sit on a tour bus and talk about rubbish with like three of my best friends, which is what we do.
Brad, I have to tell you, you are definitely wise beyond your years, and yes. I have loved talking to you. It's so nice to hear.
Thank you.
It's so nice to hear.
I've got a big grey beard in person. Shave it off.
Really? My goodness.
Yeah, big grey one, like Gandalf.
Wow. That's a big one.
Yeah.
So nice to hear younger musicians who still like to, you know, who do it for the music, who like to be creative, who like the process of it, and aren't trying to be, you know, insta-famous kind of a thing.
Exactly. What you're doing means more to you than the fame. The fame is terrific and everything that's going to come with that. Money, lots of money. But, you know, it's the idea that you're doing what you want to do and what you were really born to do. And when something is meant to be, you can just feel it and you know that it's right. Well, so check out the Vamps online. They are everywhere. They are terrific. Brad Simpson, continued best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thank you for talking to me.
Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Kara DeFalco.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Think Green. Harrison with you. The actual sounds planets make as charged electromagnetic particles from solar winds bounce back to Earth, affecting our weather and communications from 2.8 million miles away. We've relied on the Mars Climate Orbiter to give our scientists a greater understanding of how natural forces work on our own planet. The Romans named Mars for their god of war, and human sacrifice was thought the only way to make Mars happy. Now we think Mars was once pummeled by floods and living water, but now we're sure life did exist as we look to rescue Earth through understanding its neighbors.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Follow your passion is bad advice, says William McCaskill, an ethicist at Oxford and Princeton.
Instead, he suggests, do something valuable. Research shows you'll be happier at work if what you do makes a difference in the lives of others.
Further research shows that the bigger the difference you feel you make, the better you'll perform. Better performance, of course, likely leads to better pay.
So where do you start? Stop trying to find yourself. It's too abstract. Stop fighting for money, fame, power, and status. There's too much competition. Instead, find a problem you can solve.
Then people will help you as you make a difference in the lives of others. That's Big Success.
Find Big Success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.